Hello and welcome back to Sportsport Podcast, episode 14. I'm Aiden.
I'm Billy.
And I'm Alejandro.
And today we have a more diverse lineup of news from the sports world recently, instead of our very NBA-heavy news from the past episodes. So, let's go right into some news with the NBA. Billy?
Yeah, so Tommy Shepard, who is the interim GM for the Wizards this season, he became the official GM today, this week. He didn't really do a great job. We didn't have a great sample size of what he can do because he was only for the season, didn't make a lot of moves. Did get rid of Dwight Howard. I'd say that's a pretty good move, but they tried to get the Raptors GM?
Yeah, I forget his name. Ujiri.
Yeah, they tried to get him. Raptors obviously probably won't want to give him up. They probably would have matched whatever the Wizards were going to give him. So they settled for Tommy Shepard. You know, should be move.
Best of the franchise, so that's good.
Yeah, it's not like they could have gotten much worse, though.
Yeah.
If he can try to clear up their cap situation with Beal's salaries and Walt's salaries, then I'm sure he'll do good. But other than that, you know, he has a lot to prove right now. He's not a lot of people know
who he is or
what he's going to do.
Yeah.
Kostas Koufos, who is a role player, Kings. Yeah. He's like a center. He reached an agreement with CSK Moscow's basketball team to make him the highest paid American in the EuroLeague.
Yeah, it's funny. That's the team mostly known for its soccer, and they just signed him.
Yeah.
And now he's going to Europe, so he gets up a chance to stay in the NBA. He was decent, but he wasn't anything special.
Yeah, he wasn't really anything, just kind of a guy off the bench. Nikola Mirotic was another guy who signed. He signed FC Barcelona. I think he's the highest paid player in the EuroLeague, but he's not American, so.
Yeah.
The Bucks signed Kyle Korver.
They signed him in a pretty good deal. This is a big move for the Bucks. Yeah. Signed another shooter. Never hurts.
Good for the depth of the team.
It's always great to have shooters around people like Giannis who like driving so they can kick it out to somebody.
Mm. Although Giannis is starting to develop a jump shot, so that even opens up more options.
Yeah.
We still need more depth on the bench.
We even saw Kyle Korver working with Giannis on his jump shot. So
good veteran leadership
very
too.
Dangerous despite losing people like Malcolm Brogdon.
Mm. Cam Reddish, the former Duke Blue Devil, now turned Atlanta Hawk. He signed with Nike, as well as Zion Williamson also signed with Jordan. So they're kind of in the same boat now.
Yeah, because Jordan's just a Nike subsidiary.
I don't think RJ Barrett has signed yet, though, with the shoe deal.
He wore Nikes the whole time, so I think he's going to wear Nikes.
Zion signing with Jordan, that kind of clears up the whole shoe debacle he had in the middle of the season with Nike.
He was wearing a bunch. He wore like Adidas in high school. He obviously wore Nike at Duke, but that was in four.
So yeah.
We even saw him with
Pumas. He was in the Under Armour dunk contest.
Yeah,
back
we
in
even
high school.
Saw him with Pumas, but he just obviously signed with Jordan.
Yeah, there was rumors about him going to Puma that they were making a late push for him, but ultimately went to.
It's kind of funny because he never saw Zion in any Jordans ever.
Yeah.
But there he is. He's on the biggest deal per year.
Probably will get a pretty good signature shoe at one point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Jordan adds to their repertoire of young players with him and Tatum.
Yeah.
As well as Chris Paul and Russell Westbrook. So
yeah.
They're adding to their brand.
Pretty good core, I think they have there.
They also have Kemba Walker.
They do?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. It's kind of they're still kind of known as the offset of Nike, but
because they are.
They are them. Yeah. But they're trying to get just as big as them. I don't know how far Nike's gonna push Jordan, like with their athletes and stuff, but they're gonna try and divide it like evenly because they have a pretty good set of athletes in for Jordan and they have good ones for Nike. Jordan's kind of just building that up right now, trying to get that even. Eric,
we have a bunch of news from the USA training camp.
Yeah,
the
which is
FIBA World Cup.
Big disaster for the U.S. so far
the
training camp because a lot of people have pulled out of that camp. Eric Gordon withdrew. CJ McCollum withdrew. James Harden didn't participate and will withdraw. Bradley Beal withdrew. DeMar DeRozan withdrew in his head coach, and he cited his reasons is he wants to focus on next season, although his, the coach is Greg Popovich, which is his head coach in the NBA. So
Damian Lillard withdrew, Kevin Love withdrew, and then to offset that, they added Jaylen Brown and Julius Randle, Mason Plumlee, D'Angelo Russell, and Eric Gordon. And they also invited Thaddeus Young. Yeah.
Also Marcus Smart.
Most of these guys cited preparing for next season. And yeah. Davis also withdrew like last week.
Mm.
Most of them cited
Campbell Walker's one of the only real stars that decided to stay.
Yeah.
It's kind of sad players, that they're deciding to opt out of it.
I guess we do get to see a younger Team USA.
Mm. And it gives them good playing time and kind of a, you know, people who actually want to, like, play in tournament and offseason, just they have the kind of grind or motor to kind of want to play that much.
Yeah, obviously the young guys haven't done much playing for the Team USA, and it's always something different playing for your country.
Yeah, so
it's going to be great. Although it's a shame that, you know, the FIBA World Cup's always a chance to spread the game of basketball. So a lot of the stars not being there could hurt it, but there's still good showing for the U.S.
Especially because of the improvement with other European teams as well.
Yeah.
Mm. And Luka Doncic, is he going to play with Spain in the FIBA World Cup?
I think he's probably Slovenian, but I don't think they made the World Cup or something. They did? There's some weird rules over there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Slovenia would have been a good thing because they won EuroLeague because they had Doncic and Dragic.
Yeah.
It was also Slovenian. So they had a decent team. They won a whole EuroLeague in 2017. Mm. While Doncic was still at Real Madrid. So they would be a really good team, but I don't know if they made it.
Also, Mason Plumlee added. That's kind of an interesting
French
add.
French player. He's not really a even starter, and he just got added to Team USA.
Yeah. I don't know. He doesn't really start for the Nuggets at all.
He doesn't, because they have, like, Jokic, and they have –
like there must
be full bowl as well.
Yeah.
There must be better players out there in the pool than Mason Plumlee to play center.
I would hope so.
DeMarcus Cousins. Maybe.
I think so. Maybe.
I don't know.
They probably reached that level of other people.
I feel like a lot of the players are kind of they'll play for like they'll go to like one or two Olympics and a couple World Cups, and then they just dip.
Yeah, once they get the gold medal on the resume, like,
they get their one gold medal and then they're happy.
I also heard that Carmelo Anthony might be open to playing for the US in the FIBA World Cup.
He just wants any.
I just saw that they're not calling him up.
Yeah,
I'm considering calling him up.
I doubt that they will because I mean he's not in an NBA roster.
Yeah,
so why would he be?
It's just his mentality. We would just jack the shots.
Yeah. He would just try and use it as a tryout.
Yeah.
For NBA teams.
Mm. He just doesn't really have it anymore. Like,
well, he has enough talent. Like, the players who are less talented, but it's
his mentality that gets him.
I think I'd take Mason Plumlee over him right now. I'm not gonna be honest.
Thanks. I don't know. One of the analysts like gave a good insight on that. On Carmelo and wanting
Carmelo.
His mentality and how why he's just in the, really in the NBA right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Lakers might try to get him, but I don't think that's really going to happen at this point. I think Melo's career is kind of over.
Yeah.
I don't see the reason for the Lakers to get him.
I don't see it either.
And LeBron plays like 40 minutes a game.
They want to.
Although LeBron's playing point guard.
That's going to build
the
hype.
However, who the Lakers did sign was Kostas Antetokounmpo. Giannis's brother.
Yeah.
On a two-way contract after he was waived by the Dallas Mavericks.
I think the Bucks should sign him. Just because it would be cool.
Well, they just signed him on a two-way. He's clearly shown a spurt of talent and what he can do. But, like, especially in the summer league, and he didn't show – he didn't show enough. To make the Mavericks. Yeah.
Well,
he's not nice size and speed.
I think the Lakers, though, I don't think this is more of a talent signing as it is a name.
Mm.
Because I think they're trying to get as much attention as they can this season.
They're just trying
from their fans.
Yeah.
And signing on
to
Antetokounmpo after Giannis wins the MVP. It's just trying to get attention.
Yeah.
I think Giannis...
Yeah, there's another one.
Yeah.
It's like Giannis or Thanos.
I don't know. One of those things. Thanos. Thanos on Antetokounmpo. Yeah, Thanos, he signed with the Bucks, I think.
Yeah.
I knew there was
They one signed with older brother. The Bucks. Mm. And then this is his other, he's younger brother, and he has another brother, which is Alex, who's going up.
Who's going to.
And then Giannis said he's going to be better than him.
Yeah.
But I doubt that.
I highly doubt that.
Wait, how old is he?
I think he's like 17, 18.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I highly doubt, just because Giannis is great because of his physical ability and mental game. And although Alex may have that, I don't know. I haven't heard.
His work ethic is why he's so good, really.
That's true. But it's also because he's 6'11" and he's fast.
Yeah. And it's also going to be really hard to replicate what Giannis
is
doing.
I've seen stories where, like, they say after games, Giannis will stay in the gym till like 3 a.m. working on every single shot he missed.
Yeah, no doubt. Stuff it's like really that. Amazing.
It
definitely deserves to be up there with the greats how he is right now. Not greats, but like the greats of the modern game like he is right now. Yeah. Just an MVP. He deserves it.
Mm. The Wizards now plan to offer Bradley Beal the max, planning to offer him a 3-year, $111 million contract.
That's very desperate.
The new Tommy Shepard, the new GM, so
which apparently is as we said earlier, he needs to fix the cap space problem, and he is
just
now making it worse.
I just really think
Beal,
they
if anyone is of any value
Although
on that
Bradley
team,
Beal is probably
is
the one guy
Bradley
you want
Beal.
To keep on that team for,
yeah,
to build around.
Yeah. He was like an all-in
he's
game.
The one guy who doesn't get injured.
I just really think they have to pull it up, to be honest, and just start over.
So I think everyone needs to get traded.
I think they're just trying to cling on to pieces and dignity, because obviously this was a playoff team and it just blew apart.
It's not going to work anymore. There's just too many good teams around here.
Especially with the loss of Thomas Satoransky.
Yeah.
That's a big loss for them.
Yeah, it was a great backup point guard who could provide points, and John Wall was injured.
Mm. Which is always.
Always.
Well, it didn't used to be always, but yeah.
Now it's always.
He started getting injured frequently before, and then he just tore off his Achilles. But he was a great piece for them, and they used to have like a great lineup and team. And I guess they haven't been able to accept that they were a playoff team. They still would be. But then, like, the injuries and all the locker room issues just killed them.
Yeah. They just really need to get rid of their pieces and get draft picks like Thunder are doing. That's the standard right now, I think, for rebuilding.
Old standard up there.
Is, yeah.
That's like
you need to be
the
doing
best.
What the Thunder's doing.
Even though they haven't drafted anyone or done anything, that's the standard right now.
Yeah, it still is the standard. Just follow that way.
The Celtics signed Taco Fall. I'm very happy about this because obviously he's 7'6". You want to see him in the league, whether it's G League or not.
I mean,
he's just going
to
get
when someone's that tall, you just give him the
you
chance.
You can't. You have to take a chance on him, try and develop him, put him in the G League, whatever.
Mm.
Like, come on. He's 7'6".
Because they're right there. They just go up there and lay it up.
Like, if he misses, it's not like he's not going to be able to get the rebound right back anyway.
Yeah, he just needs to bulk up and, like, get more, like, polish up, and then he'll be able to.
He needs to work on
his
finish a little bit more because he still does miss a couple of those layups.
He needs to work on his mechanics.
Yeah, but he clearly has some talent.
And probably his free throws, too, because he'll get fouled a lot.
He clearly has some talent, though, like, and physical ability, because we saw him go up and down the court and pick up rebounds.
He's pretty fast for his size.
Yeah. He can do good. I think this signing is more of a
name,
you know, publicity type thing to get the fans in, but obviously there is still some talent there.
Although, yeah, I can see the name.
Crowd going to be
wild. They could. It's kind of, you know, he'll be the big.
They could clearly see the talent, but I don't think the Danny Ainge would be the one to sign somebody if they weren't worth anything to the team.
Yeah.
And who they cut was a player who wasn't doing anything. Wasn't it Yabusele?
Yeah, they cut Yabu.
He wasn't getting much done.
He didn't play at all.
He averaged 2.3 a game.
All Taco wants to do to make the signing a good one is average more than, like, 2 points and good rebounds and be an energy player, which I think he can do.
He's
and
just
he's
gonna be there to. He's
anyways.
Just there for extra rebounding.
Yeah, if you need to someone to clog up the lane in the last 2 minutes, you just put him in.
Yeah,
and it works.
Yeah, it does.
It's not like you can like make a layup over him.
Tim Duncan has returned to the NBA as an assistant coach for the Spurs.
Pretty fitting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seeing that him
is kind of a
Pops would. seemed like they probably were a good duo.
Yeah, he was kind of a chill guy.
Tim Duncan's really chill, very humble player.
Not really.
When he retired, a lot of people could see him in that coaching role.
Yeah.
For good reason. He's the smart, calm player.
He doesn't really have a lot of distractions around him, and it seems like when he's playing basketball, he just focuses on that. And, you know, if he has that focus on basketball as a player and that made him that good, then I'm sure that he's going to have enough focus to be a head coach and to, like, take control of his teams and make them better. So I think it's a great move for the Spurs front office, bringing him in.
Yeah.
And obviously it's a big draw as well because you have Tim Duncan's back, and so fans will want to see that.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah, even as a coach.
And obviously for the San Antonio lore, like, they love their legends, and Tim Duncan's up there.
Yeah.
So that's a great
one of their best players.
Arguably their best.
Yeah.
He's up there.
David Robinson.
He's up there with David Robinson.
George Gervin.
He's up there.
Yeah, all of them.
He's up there for the greatest power forward, so.
Definitely.
So going back to the Wizards, which we've talked about so often tonight,
yeah.
John Wall said he probably won't play next season.
Not a surprise, really.
Yeah. But that just goes back to prove how bad that Achilles injury is for Kevin Durant. Obviously, don't want to get anyone worried, and we hope the best for him, because obviously he's a great, really, really good player. But John Wall's already been out a season, and now he's going to probably
be another. I mean, and he's just missing his
prime.
And he's
in his prime. Yeah.
He's missing his prime. And coming back from the injury, he's going to be even more
rusty.
And, like, his mechanics are going to be down from the injury, and he's getting older. And you're missing all this time.
But I mean,
he's just not going to be as productive.
You did see him already, like, in pools and stuff, working out, keeping his touch, stuff like that.
Yeah, but
a little bit.
You
can only do so much.
Yeah, you can only do so much. That's exactly the case. Like, we saw Gordon Hayward. He was on wheelchairs shooting basketballs. Mm-hmm. He came back, and he was really rusty. And
he's still very different.
He's hoping for a comeback season this season.
I would hope to see one.
Yeah.
Great player.
People say, compare him to Paul George with his comeback, but he was younger than both Gordon Hayward and John Wall.
Yeah, he did it in his early career.
Yeah, he was 25 or 26 when he got not 28 or 29. So this is
definitely tough to come back in that those age ranges.
But obviously he already got his money, so it's not a financial worry for him.
Yeah, he's doing fine in the money department, but, you know, I'm sure he wants to
play his loved. Yeah.
Yeah, and play in those years where he's gonna be at his best and has the most chance to, you know, I don't think the Wizards would be in competition for a championship, but obviously those years you're gonna be at your best and you're gonna try be winning a championship. And to miss those years is going to be tough for him.
Exactly. Especially if he doesn't come back the way he wants to remember playing basketball.
Yeah. And it could really take a toll on him.
Especially if he still thinks he is, and, like, that ego could kill, like, the locker room even more.
Yeah. Because he's got to be taking shots that he probably won't be making anymore.
Yeah.
And just making bad decisions that he used to be able to, like, execute.
Because he relies so heavily on that athleticism. Mm-hmm. So fast. He delivered great passes at a fast speed, put up layups. He also got great chase down blocks.
Mm. Now he might lose that. So.
Kind of like Russell Westbrook growing on the athleticism. Yeah. Although
Russell Westbrook survived torn meniscus before.
He did.
Everything.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
That Patrick
Beverly. He didn't even injure anything. He doesn't injure. He's crazy though, because he didn't injure it on a normal play. He injured in a freak accident. Crashing with Patrick Beverly. If he never did that, he would still be fine, which is kind of crazy considering how he plays.
Yeah. Pau Gasol, who, you know, that's an ancient name by now. still in the league. He agreed to a 1-year deal with the Portland Trailblazers.
I feel like he's going to be 40. I'm switching this up. I feel like he was going to be 40.
Is he 40?
He's like at least 38, 39.
He's very old.
Right now. He's 39 right now. He's going to be 40 next season.
That's
anyway.
He's approaching Vince Carter range.
He barely did with the Bucks last season, but he
He was with the Spurs, I think, at the start, and then
went to
the Bucks. I didn't even realize he was on the Bucks until, like, the playoffs.
Knows what it takes to be a championship. He was in the finals, in back-to-back finals, what was already 10 years ago, in 2009, 2010.
And he can still be productive.
Productive because he's still tall. And at 36, he gained a shooting touch.
Yeah.
At least in shooting touch.
He's still a veteran leader. He can still play a little bit.
That's what they're hoping, mainly, I think.
Just
leadership.
Just a good addition for the Trailblazers. Hassan Whiteside's in there. So maybe
he could really help him.
He could really help Hassan Whiteside out, I think.
Yeah, because that's what Hassan Whiteside needs. He needs commitment to basketball and a good attitude.
Mm. The Clippers reportedly inquired about trading for James Harden before executing the trade for Paul George, where they sent 5 first-round picks and other assets to the Thunder.
Well, this shows you what they were what kind of firepower they were looking for, because they've already talked about what other names they inquired for.
And also
got them right now, but like they obviously inquired for like James Harden here, and obviously inquired for Paul George, who they eventually got. So those are two MVP of the top 3 MVP candidates last season.
I think it also shows that it showed the willingness that the Rockets were, like, that the Clippers are even inquiring to the Rockets about that training for their players. That means somewhat that the Rockets were about to let their players go, I think, before the Westbrook trade, because there was the Capella rumors and there was the Chris Paul rumors. Obviously, the Chris Paul rumors came true for Westbrook. So, think that they might have been trading.
Considering this news came out so late, I feel like it was just like a wild inquiry and it wasn't really anything serious.
Yeah, there have been wild inquiries like across leagues.
To be honest with you, I doubt Daryl Morey considered this for a second. Yeah,
it kind of reminds me.
Especially knowing that Kawhi, his like one requirement to come to the Clippers was that they get.
If it was another team, they definitely knew what they were doing. Yeah. Sam Presti was able to extract so many things, because he knew if I give you Paul George, you get Kawhi. So you're basically trading for Kawhi and Paul George. So I have a lot of leverage here. Which is how he got so many picks and shit, Gilgeous Alexander and Danilo Gallinari.
The Clippers calling in to see about James Harden's availability kind of reminds me of the 49ers trying to see if Belichick would trade Tom Brady when they denied him Garoppolo at first. So that kind of reminds me of that, although James Harden's probably not at that level as of right now, but kind of reminds me.
He's definitely up there though, like 36 points. No, obviously not Tom Brady, but like he's up there like in the NBA.
Yeah, well, it's comparing two sports, so kind of hard. RJ Hampton, who is the high school player who signed with a New Zealand team,
highly ranked high school player too, so he's been a lot on the line.
He signed a 5-year shoe deal worth multiple million dollars. He signed a 5-year shoe deal with Li Nang, which is, I believe, is a Chinese company.
Yeah, it's
Li
best Nang. Known for having D Wade on the roster.
Yeah,
D Wade's shoes look nice.
Do you think you're gonna keep coming out with Dwayne Wade shoes?
I mean, I think they should, like
Nike does with Kobe.
And they definitely. I doubt they wouldn't because they have so much workability, plus their ability.
And they're like a small company, so. And that's a money maker. So.
That's their whole market right there.
Exactly. That's how I knew them.
Like, also, signing RJ Hampton is probably a good move from them, just because it's a little bit of a risk, but if he turns into a big thing and you have him on a 5-year shoe deal, you got him. Yeah.
And if I'm RJ Hampton, I'm taking that $1 million because
you're already making money.
It's obvious to see what he's trying to get money early.
He's trying to secure
which is bag. A good yeah. It's not a bad move, to be honest.
No, it's not.
He's trying to like fight the U.S. system with like college players not getting any money for the talent, which the college team profits off. And he's going over not only to New Zealand, but he's doing something that college players can't do, signing a shoe deal already.
And making like millions of dollars off of it already.
I think the NCAA is kind of looking at this too a little bit, because they're seeing like if
all they're seeing a lot of talent leave the NCAA circuit.
Well, it's not a lot yet, but if other college players are looking at him like, well, yeah, I can go to college.
A trend is starting.
Or I can go and make money. Saying. This could be a trendsetter. Like, I could go to college and not make anything and risk myself. Or I can go to, like, some New Zealand, I bet it's not awful.
Also.
And make not only money from the team.
But make money on shoe deal.
Exactly.
I've also heard that, like, a full-ride scholarship, since you're always in the gym, you can't really have a job when you're in college. So I've heard they give you like $500 a week, and the players are stuck like eating ramen and stuff, and they're not very given very like nutritious meals and stuff. So it's pretty difficult for them to like.
Yeah.
Although RJ Hampton is going to be away from his family, so it must be tough, but he's trying to make a choice.
I mean, with the money he's making, he could probably move them out there if he wanted to.
Yeah, but it's only before 1 year.
Yeah.
They could rent something for you. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So on to NFL.
Yeah.
All right. We're actually going to take a break, I think, before that, and then we'll bring it up in the next segment.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Welcome back to part two, and we're on to NFL. So Mike Daniels, who was a former Pro Bowl defensive lineman for the Green Bay Packers, he was released a couple days ago, and he took a couple of visits with multiple teams. The first team he visited was the Cleveland Browns. He decided to sign with the Detroit Lions today on a one-year, $9.1 million contract. Pretty good for a guy that just got released, obviously. I think that was more of a cap space type of decision by the Packers because Mike Daniels is a Pro Bowl defensive lineman, probably the best player on their defense now. He's gone. They apparently are moving on from him. The Lions sign him. They do need help on the D-line. I believe they brought back Ziggy Ansah. So I think they did. I'm not completely sure. But still, even with Ziggy Ansah, they do need help on the interior line. Now that they have Mike Daniels, though, pretty good pass rush. Improves the defense as that was led by Darius Slay, who's not the best of players. Be the best player on your defense. Now you have Mike Daniels and Darius Slay. So pretty good defensive forces to rush your quarterback and cover your wide receivers. So pretty good combination there. Also, you have Matt Patricia, who's a defensive-minded coach.
Yeah, definitely focusing on the defensive signings.
Yeah, and their offense is already pretty good. So now focusing on the defense, $9.1 million isn't too bad for a player of his level. So I thought that was a pretty good deal for the Lions.
And Tyreek Hill is not going to be suspended for allegedly abusing his child, which is...
Yeah.
No one understands Roger Goodell or his mindset, but we don't question it.
Yeah, Roger Goodell is something. So players are getting suspended for PED use and weed and stuff like that, but PEDs, I'm kind of... person who thinks that PEDs really shouldn't get focused on as much, because we all know by now that every sport everybody's using PEDs at this point.
Yeah.
And I think it should get penalized if it's really bad, of course, but
like kind of in baseball where they've just stopped caring because they want more home runs in their games anyway. So they're like, all right, well, we want more home runs anyway.
Yeah.
Sure. Go ahead.
So, but PEDs, you got a 4-game suspension. If you abuse your child, you're free. You're good.
It should be.
If you smoke weed, you get suspended indefinitely, and we don't know when you're gonna come back. Like, come on, the NFL needs to focus on what the real problems are. If you're actually like doing something that's bad, that affects other people, and that can be seen as like an actually like bad crime,
no offense,
then like, you should get suspended for like 8 games,
like,
or
if
like
you're
a
getting,
year,
if you're
or
getting
indefinitely.
Tried,
like,
if you're getting not, tried to go to jail,
if you want
to,
if you want to crack down on it, you need to make the suspensions heavy.
Yeah,
so people won't do it.
And I think Roger Goodell, this is more of a move to try to like save the Chiefs from like falling down, because without Tyreek Hill, they don't have that much of a wide receiver core, and I think he wants to keep them up in the rankings because they're making money. So if you take away Tyreek Hill, then they won't be as good. When
I don't think 4 games is going to make a difference. Just suspend him.
Yeah,
like, come on.
Suspend him. Just,
you can't let someone get away with abusing their child.
Yeah.
Like, they're getting tried in a court of law, and they get away with it.
Yeah.
And people who aren't even on trial for anything are getting suspended. It just doesn't make any sense.
This is kind of like the Ray Rice situation in a way.
Yeah.
Where I think Ray Rice got like 2 games. You get suspended for PEDs, you get 4. It's ridiculous.
The scale of the severity of crimes in the NFL is
absolutely
broken and
corrupt. Horrible.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Melvin Gordon, the running back for the Chargers, apparently he wants a new extension, but the Chargers reportedly won't cave into Gordon's contract demands. Gordon is holding out of camp now, and it is possible that he might go into the season without a contract. I think they should pay Melvin Gordon what he's doing right now, holding out. I don't respect usually when you're holding out
for
a contract.
You're only saying that because he's on your fantasy football team.
I do think he should get paid, though, still. He's a top 3 running back in the league, and he is probably the best player on that offense. So he should definitely get paid. shouldn't get paid Le'Veon Bell's numbers. No running back should get paid Le'Veon Bell's numbers.
Le'Veon Bell shouldn't get paid Le'Veon Bell's numbers.
No, he shouldn't. No running back in the whole entire league should get paid Le'Veon Bell's numbers. But Melvin Gordon, he should get at least, I think, like 10 mil a year or a little over like that will be good for Melvin Gordon. And, you know, if he's looking for Le'Veon Bell money, then, you know, you could trade him or something. I don't know. But the Chargers, in their best interest, if you can get Melvin Gordon on an all right contract, I would sign that because Philip Rivers' window for a championship is running out, and you don't want to leave him without the weapons you've already kind of built up for him.
Yeah. But there, I mean,
so much years of work.
Because of Le'Veon Bell's contract, Gordon's going to go in there saying, I'm this level of player.
Yeah, and it's a
give
shame.
Give me this type of contract because that's his leverage.
It's a shame that Le'Veon did that. Because
now he gives
every
all the other running backs that are probably better than him
the
leverage to do that.
And who's the one to create this? Le'Veon Bell. And who's the team to create this?
The Jets. New York Jets.
Of course.
Are we surprised the Jets are ruining the league?
No.
No.
All right.
Also, do have Billy's fantasy football team.
No, we don't need him to win three straight
championships.
No,
we don't need that. But, well, we do. I want that, but we don't need
I don't. I want to win my second.
All right, so the New Orleans Saints offered Michael Thomas, the wide receiver, $18 million reportedly, but still Michael Thomas is holding out of training camp.
Yikes. Give him the money because my football team needs to be better than Billy's.
I'm going to have to say that this would be a bad move to give Michael Thomas $18 million, but Michael Thomas is reportedly being offered $18 million, and he's turning that down. There's something wrong with that.
Probably
assuming that Michael Thomas, like, $18 million is, like, an average quarterback's pay, and you're a wide receiver. You're not you could argue he's top five. I don't think he's completely top five yet. He's still young, and he wants $18 million. It's just ridiculous. He should stop holding out of camp right now. If they're offering you $18 million, just take the money. Just take the money.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah, they're trying to get Drew Brees another ring. Just take the money. That's a ton of money. I don't see what sum of money you'd want that's more than that that would be reasonable at all. Like, $18 million is huge for a wide receiver. Just take that. I'm pretty sure OBJ's contract is around $18 million. He's the highest paid wide receiver in the game, I think, him or Julio. And that's just around there, so take the money.
Yeah.
I don't see why you wouldn't.
You'd probably be in the top three paid wide receivers, so why not?
Stop holding out. All right, next up we have Kevin Byard, who is a safety for the Titans. He signed a five-year, $70.5 million extension. The Titans have been building up their secondary with draft picks Dory Jackson. They have Logan Ryan, who's a great corner. Malcolm Butler didn't perform as well as they would want last year. But they are putting a lot of money into that secondary, and I don't see it that very good. But, Titans do what Titans do, and they'll probably go 8-8 this season because that's what the Titans do.
Yes.
Even with Kevin Byard, I can see this contract going down and being a bad contract in like about 3 years. I'm not too familiar with Kevin Byard, but I definitely know that he's not top three safety in the league and probably should not get paid as the best safety in the league. So bad contract. Ezekiel Elliott's not at training camp because he wants an extension. Running backs are very greedy nowadays, I guess. Just sign, like, first of all, Ezekiel Elliott, you have to realize that your O-line does most of the work for you, as you have the best O-line in the league with practically all of them going to the Pro Bowl. Most of it's not you. So the Cowboys, you know, if you want to trade Zeke, you can get a lot of first-round draft picks for him. I would say if you can get, like, two first-round picks for him, trade Zeke and just put another running back behind that line. He'll probably do just as good. And that's the end for football. On to soccer now.
Okay. So, Messi is reportedly pushing Barcelona to get Neymar, and David De Gea signed a massive $146 million six-year contract at Man United.
That might be the highest for a goalkeeper, which is wild. A season ago, I would have understood this. I've always thought he's overrated.
I've always thought he's overrated, and now I really think he's overrated. He did not perform well at all this season.
Yeah.
Just very disappointing.
It all started at like Euro when he made some mistakes in EuroLeague, in the Euros. And then it just spilled into the season. He wasn't amazing at all. He conceded a good
goal. I don't think he really had any clean sheets this season either.
He obviously had a few, but he's...
I think he had two or three, but not anywhere near Allison. Yet again, he did have a very crippled defense.
It was really bad, so that's like Phil Jones. But obviously, that's not what they expected him, because a season ago, he was really great. I thought it was just like a lucky season, but he was still really good. He had a bunch of shutouts, and he made a lot of great saves despite having that same shaky defense. So he, unfortunately for himself, set high expectations. And made a lot of people call him the greatest goalkeeper, although I never thought he was. But because he just, I don't know, he didn't do other things that all other goalkeepers did. But he did that, and he set that precedent. And then last season, he wasn't able to live up to it. But despite that, he still got a huge contract. He might be the highest paid goalkeeper. But, yeah, I don't think he deserves it. But there it is. And they have something. They're wasting a bunch of money on him. There's obviously no cap space in soccer, so they're fine.
Yeah. And then Marco Asensio ruptured his ACL in a match against Arsenal in a friendly and is out for the season, which is very disappointing for Real Madrid, obviously, and just something you hate to see to such a talented player. And one of his possible replacements in Dani Ceballos going away on loan to Arsenal as well.
Marco Sanchez is like a dynamic winger who didn't have a great season last season, which was like one goal after having a great season two seasons ago. But expectations were high with Gareth Bale on a holdout and reportedly close to leaving. But he was expected to do a lot of things this season with Gareth Bale leaving, as he's a winger. And as he's a winger, he would have replaced Gareth Bale, and obviously he's shown 2 seasons ago he showed the ability to replace them. He's a young player, so representing his ACL, not being able to see him for another year, is really disappointing in this season. He was supposed to step up for this Real Madrid team, who has higher expectations after a big transfer market. And I wish the best for Marco Asensio, and it's really unfortunate that people are getting injured in preseason friendly games that don't matter at all.
Yeah.
Lazio says that Manchester United are free to sign their midfielder Milinkovic-Savic, who's been rumored to leave for the last few seasons. Last season he was heavily rumored with a move away from Lazio, but ultimately did not leave, as they were very firm on their stance keeping him. Last season wasn't an amazing season. It wasn't really a bad one either. So his price has probably gone down. Also, his contract's gone down, so he's probably worth less. But he's still a good player and will be a good value signing, depending on the price, for Manchester United, who's desperate to get people and maybe replace people like Pogba, who might be leaving.
Gareth Bale is set for a move to the Chinese league, which is kind of questionable, in my opinion. I mean, obviously, you're going to make a lot of money, as those teams are very wealthy, but it's really not a lot of competition, and Gareth Bale is probably going to score like 60 goals a season, seeing that the Chinese league is very bad. The team that he's set to move to is, I apologize for if I butcher this.
Jiangsu Suning.
Yeah, him, what he said.
That's not perfect at all, but...
We attempted.
Sorry.
Yeah.
He's a really good player that Real Madrid just had on a holdout and doesn't want to, like, hasn't been playing, doesn't want to play. He's obviously a really talented player, but there's been a lot of reports about questioning his attitude, like not wanting to, like, to be in like a little like stingy practice, not learning Spanish despite living in Madrid for 6 years. Been a lot of reports like that, and those obviously aren't positive. And you can see from a lot of moves, actions. There was also reports of him like not going to games. So like that mixed with a lot of like just his action. Although he's a very talented player, and his injury prone history just annoy a lot of people. You know, he stepped up a lot. People just weren't annoyed because he wasn't always available and stuff. And the relationship just went downhill from there. And it was really bad. And there's a lot of reports of, like, people calling Zidane disrespectful, wanting to leave and a lot of things like that. So at this point, a move away from the Santiago Bernabeu would be the best for all parties involved, in my opinion.
Although, and there's been some really questionable and odd rumors about Paulo Dybala moving away from Juventus.
And all in, like, swaps.
Yeah. So the one that Juve seems to be considering the most would be a swap with Dybala and Lukaku.
That's kind of odd and out of nowhere.
That's very random, as Lukaku was supposed to go to, what was it, Inter?
Yeah.
Don't want to see Dybala go to Man United either, because rumored, I do like him as a player, and I don't want to see him suffer and rot in Man United.
Yeah.
I'd be okay with him going to Tottenham.
These swap moves are really weird. Like, Juve was also supposedly considering one with him and Inter's forward Icardi. So these are odd if you don't see them much.
I think for Juventus, a swap with Icardi would be would probably work out better for them, but they'd also have to pay a lot of money.
Yeah, I don't think Inter wants that. But this is
really Dybala is a very young, promising player, though.
Yeah.
He is pretty proven as well.
Lukaku
has a very good strike.
Yeah, Lukaku was out of nowhere for this deal. Was there any report of interest between Juve and Lukaku? But there it is. I don't know how much substance there is to the report, so I don't really believe any of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. The ball is coming off a season.
I definitely don't believe any of the Man United stuff, because those fans just like to fantasize about dumb stuff. But the Tottenham move, I don't think it's true at all.
Yeah.
I don't think any of it is. But if he is going to move to one of the two teams, I think he would definitely perform better and not rot in Tottenham's system.
There's a
playing
lot
alongside Harry Kane as well could be pretty entertaining.
There's also a lot of list of players who have been doing well at Manchester United recently, like Angel Di Maria and like Falcao and other people. So obviously it's not somewhere you want to go. Also, Memphis Depay also had a bad tenure there. So it's not somewhere you really want to go. Dybala, however, Dybala's coming off a season which was disappointing for him after a great season like 2 seasons ago. That was because of Ronaldo coming in. He had to move out wide, which he hadn't really played. And he struggled with that, only scoring a few goals, like 6 goals maybe in Serie A.
I feel like he did get his assist totals went up though, right?
I don't even think so. He just had
really?
He wasn't involved that much. He's just not used to it.
Yeah. It is hard to move out of position, obviously, especially playing a wing position that requires a lot more stamina as well.
And moving up and not having to cross more instead of going down the middle, being able to pass outwards, which is what the ball is more used to.
Yeah. Oh, as a striker, there's a lot less time on the ball, really. You're kind of receiving the ball either in hold up play, playing it out to a wing, where you get the ball, play it to someone who's making a run down the line so that they can then cross it back into you in the box for a finish or a low cross or something like that.
Yeah, Dybala's been doing that, and also been playing attacking midfield. He did both of those, drew with central roles, and he just wasn't really used that right wide position. Although new coach Sarri did say that he's probably gonna play Dybala down the middle, which could see a resurgence in
at
stats.
Attacking mid probably behind Ronaldo. Or do you think Ronaldo's gonna go out to?
I think Ronaldo's gonna move back to where he was with Real Madrid, on that left wing, but cutting in a bunch.
Yeah,
which is what he loves doing.
Yeah, Ronaldo will probably go back to his more comfortable position at left wing, although he is obviously a good striker. Honestly, you put him anywhere on the front three, he'd probably do just fine.
He normally does the same thing, though, left wing and striker. He usually goes into the middle.
Yeah.
Crawls there and, looks for balls and, especially crosses. So he does the same. It's just a different move.
Yeah.
But to see a ball down the middle would be great.
Especially with the people they're looking to sign, like Icardi or Lukaku, you would definitely end up moving him out to the left wing so you can place them in their position as well.
Yeah. So that's it for soccer. We're moving on to MLB. With the trade deadline coming up soon, there's still nothing, no movement, really. The biggest rumors have been around pitchers Mike Minor and Marcus Stroman, with the biggest four front runners for Stroman being the Braves, the Yankees, the Astros, and the Red Sox, who are also reportedly scouting him. So there's a lot of people in the mix for Marcus Stroman. The Blue Jays
also could extend him as well.
Yeah, the Blue Jays could also extend him because they obviously have no pressure. I don't even think Stroman has a lot of pressure because they obviously have a nice young thing going on there. They don't feel pressure for the 28-year-old because he's under contract for a few more years. He's having a great season with like a 3 ERA and a winning record. No, I think maybe winning record on that Blue Jays team, which obviously isn't a great
which
season.
Which is probably a hard thing to do on that team.
Well. Yeah.
And yeah, the Red Sox released Eduardo Nunez, who was a third baseman.
Yeah, third and first baseman. Yeah.
Obviously, didn't really need him anymore. They kind of had him as depth for Devers if he ever became inconsistent, obviously, because he's a young player, but Devers has been on fire lately,
took him over.
Really proven himself, and there's no reason for Nunez to be on the team anymore because Devers is always going to be playing anyway.
He has a memorable moment, especially in like 2018.
Nunez did definitely come in handy a couple times, definitely has more experience, more veteran player. He was a good signing for when he was there, very helpful. It's not something where, like, you're happy to see him go.
Yeah.
But it's a good move for the team.
Unfortunately, he had a great tenure. He obviously went was he there? I don't know if he was there in 2013, but he obviously got one in 2018.
No, he wasn't. I think he joined in 2017.
Yeah. He was obviously there for a short time, but it was a good time. The fans liked him. He was respected, and he obviously got a championship, which is what players crave.
Okay. And, just something to say. The Yankees versus Red Sox series has been happening recently. So last night the Red Sox won 19-3. I'll have to see that.
A record win for the Red Sox in this rivalry.
It was a 16-run differential. I think there were 23 hits.
Yeah, 23 hits.
Three or four home runs.
Yeah.
And a lot of entertainment, and I just love to see the Yankees.
Yeah, it was
lose.
A really great game with a lot of enjoyment.
Also, right now they're playing.
Xander Bogaerts had a great game yesterday. Hit a home run in the ninth. Also hit a home run in the third. Yeah, he had a good game.
And Mookie Betts is going off right now. It's the top of the ninth of the game right now.
He had his
Yankees are losing 10-4.
Mookie Betts had his the fifth 30 home run game today, which is really impressive.
He hit three home runs today, which is just ridiculous.
And he also drove in on a double. Run on a double.
Yeah, he
RBIs.
Went
he has
five four
RBIs.
For five. Five RBIs.
Yeah, just great.
Insane. Devers also went 3-for-5. Martinez went 2-for-4. And there's nothing else that's that entertaining. But, yeah.
So without gigantic claps, the Red Sox would have won the last two games in this matchup as they try to gain ground on the wild card or potentially the series or potentially the division lead. Following the Giants' hot streak, their ace, Madison Bumgarner, is unlikely to be traded despite earlier in the season being on the trade block reportedly for the Giants, who are now in the race for the wild card and even the division on a recent hot streak over the last month, which is the
trying to go on a run.
Yeah.
Relive whatever. What year did they won it somewhat recently?
Yeah, they did. It was,
I don't remember what year exactly, but it was within the last.
You obviously don't trade your starting ace pitcher while you're going on a run like that.
I mean, at the beginning of the season, it didn't seem like they were really expecting to be doing as well as they are.
But
now that they are, they're definitely going to look to go deep into the playoffs as most teams would love to. The Colorado Rockies could trade Charlie Blackmon.
Their all-star.
Don't know who that is.
He's their outfield all-star. Rockies aren't having a great, crazy season this season, so it could make sense to trade him. I feel like he's on the older end. But, it would make sense to move him from a team standpoint. As he's 33 years old, he's still an all-star caliber player. So hopefully they can move him. It'd be interesting to see where he goes.
And Joey Gallo will have surgery to repair a broken hamate bone.
Am I a doctor?
Don't know what that is
license?
Or where
sword?
It is,
yep.
But he broke something and he's going to fix it.
That's rough for him. The the
seemed to be having
Rangers,
a good season.
Yeah, the Rangers weren't contenders at all, but they were having a nice season. It's in his right wrist. It's a bone in your right wrist, and he's going to miss around 6 weeks. So that's a rough injury for him. He's in a nice season, and so were the Rangers.
Just hope he can come back stronger, I guess.
Yeah. Five-time All-Star Troy Tulowitzki retires, being on the Blue Jays, I think, right now as of late. So he had a great season, mainly with the Rockies, spending his career, the prime of his career with the Rockies in the 2000s, in the late 2000s. He was a great, really talented player, but missed a bunch with injury and now just had to retire at the relatively young age of 34, which is rough for him.
Yeah.
And he was with the Blue Jays just now. The season was pretty rough for him. He signed on a smaller contract to the Yankees where he was supposed to replace Didi Gregorius for the season after his injury. While Didi Gregorius was injured, he got injured on that role. Gleyber Torres moved to shortstop and they waived him. Or traded him, I think. I think they waived him. And then the Blue Jays picked him up, but the injuries were too much for him, and he retires.
On to the NHL for our last little segment here.
This news has been...
It's
this
just
news is all
free
old.
Agency
yeah,
news, kind of old. Just something we hadn't really covered yet. So, Artemi Panarin...
Yeah.
Signs a 7-year, $81.5 million deal with the Rangers.
He was a top free agent on the market, and that's a huge deal, and especially in NHL terms. And, it's just a great...
It's a good move for him getting...
For the rebuilding Rangers, who now look to make a push, maybe for a playoff spot.
Yeah, and in such a physical sport like hockey, you never know what could happen with injuries. So being on a 7-year contract does help secure...
Yeah,
money and financial like stability with him. I mean,
obviously
you're
making
that much money.
Yeah,
it doesn't really
matter. Brings a lot of intrigue to the Rangers as they were rebuilding all of a sudden, and now they had the 2 pick, and now they could make the playoffs.
Yeah, and Sergei Bobrovsky, the insane goalie for the Blue Jackets in the playoffs, who brought it out to 7 with the Bruins, signed a 7-year, $70 million contract with the Florida Panthers.
Yeah, he's been a great goalkeeper for a lot of years, so getting a big contract with that was merited.
Really showed up in the playoffs too,
yeah.
So that could be helpful for the Panthers and what they're looking for.
Yeah, and in a splash of free agency, they signed other people, such as Noah Achari here, 3 years, $5 million.
He was on the Bruins?
Yeah, he was on the Bruins.
Yeah, the Bruins kind of...
Lost a lot of key pieces.
They lost a lot of pieces from their championship caliber team losing in the Stanley Cup. Thinking if they had won, would they have been able to re-sign these players? Maybe, but it hate to see a couple of key players go, especially after such a run where you would definitely want to repeat if you're the team. And yeah, so Achari signed a 3-year, $5 million contract with the Florida Panthers to join Bobrovsky. And Wayne Simmonds signed a 1-year, $5 million deal with the
New Jersey Devils.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a nice move for the Devils, who have made a push to try to, especially to try to keep a top player, a winger, Taylor Hall, on the team, who's on a contract year. They brought in defender PK Subban and Wayne Simmonds here. They're trying to do something.
PK Subban is a very physical defender.
Yeah.
Definitely known for his fighting. But
he had a down year, kind of, for the Panthers, although it wasn't awful, but it was down year for him and his standards. But if he can bounce back, the Devils would also make a playoff push with him, Subban, Hall, and maybe Jack Hughes can make a difference too.
And the other loss for the Bruins from one of their key players, Marcus Johansson, signed a 2-year deal with the Sabres.
It was going to be tough for the Bruins to retain him with his contract.
Yeah,
it was unlikely with the Bruins contract situation because the cap didn't go up this season, so they didn't have much room to work out with, and he signs with the Sabres.
Yep. And that is all for Sports Report Podcast Episode 14. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at Sports Report Podcast, Twitter at Sports Report PO1. And we also have a YouTube account up. Just look up Sportsport Podcast up there.
Three words, all separated, all caps.
Yeah. and for little segments. And yeah, feel free to leave comments or feedback, any thoughts you have. And we will see you next week.